this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me here in a couple minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to look us up on both Facebook and Twitter. If you wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, and at Player.fm, and soon it's going to be distributed and syndicated through Roku. You can also listen to the station using our Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, RedStateTalkRadio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can use any phone using our 24/7 listener line, provided by TalkStream Live by dialing 605-562-4209. Before we get started, let's give a shout out to some of our AM and FM affiliates. WJNW AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee. Talk Radio AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona. WMQL Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina. Coffin County Talk Radio AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas. WDFP Digital Radio, Atlanta, Georgia. WGHW, which will soon be carrying our stuff in Wilmington, North Carolina. Now let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you today, sir?
Well, I'm sitting here enjoying a nice, tall, refreshing glass of sweet tea.
I am too, matter of fact.
I don't care what rules I'm breaking. I'm going to drink my sweet tea.
Well, let's put too fine a point on it. I don't give a damn what Michelle Obama thinks. Yeah. Anyway.
This woman, you know, she wants to tell kids what they can eat and what they can't eat. Now she's trying to tell us to drink, not to drink sweet tea.
Yeah, she's also wanting to weigh kids in daycare. Wants to start getting their weights and stuff. In other words, try to nip that thing in the bud before they get started.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah. So,
you get on the scale when you walk in the door?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess it'd be like kind of like going through a metal detector and you jump on the scales, you know, at some point and then they weigh you every day. I don't know. But that's something she thinks we should implement. So,
you know, that's a really a tough thing for a kid. Think about it. You know, if you start making kids, I mean, you'll give them such a complex, they'll be so scared to what to put in their mouth and stuff. That's an awful thing. I mean, when you're a kid, you don't want to worry about anything. You just want to, you know, run, play, and eating, you know, cake, you know, you burn it off anyway.
Well, for the most part. And, you know, some, you know, some kids are thin and they get, you know, people get, of course, heavier as they get older. And some people are fat, little chubby guys, and they turn, they become thin later on. I mean, it's all, it really has more, I think, I swear to God, I mean, I could be wrong, but I think it has more so to do with genetics than almost anything. I mean, of course, saying that, if you sit there and just stuff your face full of stuff, you will get fat. I mean, you know, unless you have a really super accelerated metabolism or something. I mean, you know, that's just, you know, going to happen.
I think the probably the worst thing is a lot of kids don't go outside and play as much anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah.
I mean, you come inside and you play your video games and, maybe she had to go to war against the video games.
Yeah, that would make more sense than, I guess, what she's doing, I guess. And like we talked about before, I mean, you do not see, when you're, if you're in your car, truck, and you're driving through a neighborhood, a nice subdivision, where you know that there are a lot of families with a lot of kids, you don't see kids outside playing very much. And you don't see them sitting, they're not out there throwing the ball, they're not playing football, they're not playing basketball. Maybe basketball, maybe a little bit because, you know, whatever. But baseball, I mean, when I was a kid, that's what every kid was doing because that was all we had. Because think about it. There was a bunch of us guys that ran around together. And if one guy had a decent basketball, that's all you needed, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and if one guy had a decent football, that's all you needed, you know. And same thing with, now, baseball is a little different. You had to have a ball and you had to have a glove. But other than that, you know, as long as one guy had a decent ball and the rest of you, you know, could get together some kind of glove or bring an extra glove or you could kind of much and somebody had a bat, you could play. But, you know, now the kids just don't do that anymore. They just don't, you know, whatever.
You're right. You don't see it as much.
You do not. Let me real quick give an announcement, then we'll get started. Got a new program on the lineup at Red State Talk Radio. This is a pretty good one. This is a show that will start Monday, 5 o'clock Eastern. It's Secure Freedom Radio. The host is Frank Gaffney. Now, this guy is he's pretty big. He's nationally syndicated on a bunch of channels. He's his home base is The Answer in Washington, D.C. And he's really big on security, foreign policy and security related issues and stuff. And he has really good guests and we're real fortunate to get him on the station. So that's pretty big. That's one of our biggest, folks that we've lined up. Now I have to admit, I did not actually find the guy, another, one of our affiliates, WDFP at Don Fiducia Productions down in Atlanta. Actually got the guy signed up, and I listened to the show, and I thought, boy, that guy's pretty good. I had heard of him before, but I'd never listened to his show, and I listened to his show, and I asked Don, I said, you reckon he would he'd be willing to let us broadcast his stuff too? He said, I'm sure he would, but I'll check him and find out. And so he did and said, yeah, sure, he'd be honored. And I said, well, great, we're honored too. So anyway, so he will be starting Monday. And he'll also be on Sunday nights at matter of fact, his first show will actually air tonight at midnight on Red State Talk Radio. Just to give you, if anybody wants to take a taste, it's actually a replay of his Friday show. So anyway, okay, let's get started. Obamacare, we got to have at least one Obamacare story, and we got one here. The Washington Post is has put out a report that rural hospitals. They're really struggling. They're really having trouble with Obamacare because of all the reduced fees for Medicaid, Medicare, and all that kind of stuff. And these rural hospitals have a tough time anyway. I mean, these are not these big, you know, the bigger mega hospitals. They have enough people coming in and out. That, you know, maybe they can somehow make a profit. But these little small places, it's tough. It's tough anyway. Forget Obamacare. It's tough to make a profit. And so a lot of these places are closing up, Ken. And so here's another unintended consequence of what everybody thought, or at least not everybody, a lot of people thought was a good idea. And what are these rural neighborhoods and communities going to do when all these hospitals, and they're already starting to shut down, but it's just a matter of time. There's really very, very few of those are going to be able to make a profit and stay in business. It's just not going to happen. So what do we do?
I don't know. It's an awful thing to be. It's one thing to live out in the country somewhere or the mountains or wherever and have a hospital that was, you know, 3, 4, 5 miles away, as opposed to that hospital closing. Now you've made the closest hospital 15, 20, 25 miles away. That's a
bore.
Life or death. Yeah.
There's places, I mean, here in rural Tennessee, in Cleveland, we have actually a pretty good hospital right here in Cleveland. But I'm talking, there's a county next to us called Polk County. And there's like a big mountain that kind of divides the county. If you're on this side of the mountain, getting into Cleveland for a hospital, and we've got a pretty good one, there's no real hospital. I don't think Polk County even has one, to be honest with you. There is a health department, but there's no hospital. And I don't think they have any urgent care facilities, you know, like these little dock-in-a-box things that spring up all over the place. I don't think they even have that. But they may somewhere. I don't know. But what I'm getting at is you get on the other side of the mountain, I mean, you're probably, I guess, 2 hours to get to any hospital. You know, So in some places it might be more than that. I mean, think about out west where you got these big, huge spaces and stuff. And if the rural, it may not be necessarily as much mountains and stuff. It might be desert, but you probably got a long drive to get into it. They probably have a long drive anyway in some cases. But whatever few hospitals, want to get there, whatever few hospitals they have in the rural community are going to vanish.
Just to put that in perspective, it takes me from Atlanta to get to the Tennessee border. It takes me an hour and a half. It's an hour and a half drive just to get from where I am, Tennessee, to Chattanooga.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a long way.
Yeah, and that's assuming traffic's good, because I've been to Atlanta numerous times. Oh, yeah. And it's an hour and a half. You're right. From Chattanooga, of course, I'm about 23 minutes on the other side of Chattanooga, but Chattanooga, so it's about 2 hours roughly for me, basically. But hour and a half, but if traffic, it can make 2 and 3, it could be 2 and 3 hours easily. I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
And you know that. You can just go across town. It might be 2 hours.
That's the truth. Yeah. Rush hour is a totally different story.
Depending on rush hour and depending on if there's an accident or, you know, God forbid there's snow in Atlanta.
Please.
Anyway. Okay. Now, let's move on to some other stuff. Let's bring up the Hildebeest. Let's bring up this email gate thing. The American Thinkers report was the first, I think one of the first ones to report this, but it's now being reported by several people that Valerie Jarrett, the imam of the White House, has been fingered as the source of leaks on Hillary's email server. So apparently there's trouble in paradise. And we mentioned this, I think, last week's show. There's no love lost between the Clintons and the Obamas. That's just, it was a shotgun wedding in a sense, because of the pretty much bitter primary they had when Obama ran in 2008. I mean, his people were claiming that Bill Clinton was being a racist and all this kind of stuff, and you know, and that did not sit well with the Clintons, because as we all know, Bill Clinton was the first black president. So,
but what do they have to gain, Primo? What do they have to gain by taking her down?
I think it's something as simple as revenge. I don't think it's really complicated at all. Whatever.
But you've got a Republican House and Senate. I know we discussed this before, but if a Republican president comes in, don't you know Obamacare is on the hit list? So if you have Hillary as the president, you don't have that.
Yeah, but I think it's so, they are so vindictive. And remember, Obama is a petulant child, and so he's pissed that even that Hillary didn't just get out of the way and let him have the nomination. You know, she actually fought for it, and so that kind of ticked him off. And I think it's just like his it's payback for him. It's pure and simple. And the thing is, just think about the timing of this. If this had come out before the Republicans got control of Congress, this thing might have been completely swept under the rug. But you know what? It didn't come out until after the elections in 2014. I wonder why. Because the White House has known about this for years. And so Valerie Jarrett could have leaked this to the press for a long time ago. But she didn't. And she didn't until guess who got in charge of the Benghazi select committee, Trey Gowdy, who she knew if she got this to him, he would be a damn bulldog and go after it. So it almost makes you wonder that they were waiting to see if the Republicans win, then we'll unleash the hounds on Hillary. I don't know. Just a theory.
Weird.
Well, on the same subject, the Politico, which, by the way, is a left-leaning publication. It is not a right-wing conservative publication like Hillary likes to claim the vast right-wing conspiracy is after her. It's saying that Hillary's email defense is laughable. I mean, they're not even buying it. So think about this. You've got the White House, Valerie Jarrett, basically, Obama obviously knows about this and helped plan it. Tipped everybody off on this, and then you got the left, the Politico, and even a lot of Democrats and stuff. They're starting to. First of all, they're behind it. Number two, they're starting to panic. The people who I guess were taken by surprise with this, they're not sure what the hell to do for 2016 at this point, because after Hillary. I mean, you pointed out last week, what do you got left?
I think she's not, and I think you'll probably agree with me, she is not Bill. Bill he thinks well on his feet. You know, when somebody comes out with a question, and he will do, he'll come up with something that makes some sort of sense, and it'll kind of divert the main thing of against him away from him. Yeah. She's not that way. She doesn't have that ability.
The main thing with Bill is he's a better politician. No, at light years ahead of Hillary.
Oh yeah.
And number two, he's a better liar.
Well, no doubt.
Oh, because Hillary's not a real good politician, and she's a terrible liar. So.
No. Well, we saw the fluster. How she gets. She got flustered at the Benghazi thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think when she gets to somebody can really push her button, she'll come out with something crazy. And when she does that, it really shows what kind of politician she really is, which is not a really good one.
No. And then think about this. Her decision-making process has to be in question. At this point, I mean, first of all, I don't think she had good decision making beforehand, but this ought to make it pretty much obvious to anybody that this whole email server thing, that was just dumb from a purely political standpoint, not counting it was dumb from a national security standpoint. And by the way, there was an article that came out that some security people actually went to, I guess apparently the server's still up. Okay, believe it or not, ClintonEmail.com is still up and running. I haven't checked. I guess I should. But some person did a check on their server and found that one of the most obvious things that a server has to have, if you're running an email server, there are certain things you have to do. And this is like basic computer IT stuff. There are certain things you have to enable on the server to make sure that your email addresses cannot be spoofed. And this, the person that did this article checked her server and it failed. She doesn't have the security measures put on the server that would not allow people to spoof her server. In other words, literally, someone could literally almost in sort of hijack their server. In other words, they could send out an email, Ken, make it look like it's coming from her server and like it's coming from Hillary herself. And they can send an email out, and the person on the other end would not know and think they're talking to Hillary.
Wow.
Now, what if you're doing some kind of a delicate, you know, thing with a foreign power or something, and maybe all they do is they spoof her email and tell them to go to hell or whatever. I mean, just, yeah. Muhammad is a I'm not going to go there. But you could piss people off pretty quick.
Well, I just, that showed you just how unsafe and what she put this country. Forget the lies, forget all the stuff she's done, but she put us at risk.
Oh yeah.
By using her own server. That just flies all over me.
Well, literally she puts the entire country at risk. She was Secretary of State.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
It has no business because of this alone, she has no business running for the highest office in the land.
That proves she's not ready. Well, and here's the thing. As old as she is, she ain't never going to get ready. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah.
I think she's done. You can put a fork in her. She's supposed to be going to announce in April, but I don't...
I think so, too. I think you're absolutely right. Then they got... Who they got to fall back to?
And that's assuming... The email thing does it pretty much, but that's assuming that Trey Gowdy doesn't get to the bottom of the Benghazi thing. But he will... And whether she announces or not, he will get to the bottom of it, and that will definitely put the nail on the coffin.
Well, but my point all along is this thing's going to be drawn out for years, at least a couple of years, and you're talking about 2016. So, I mean, this is not going away for her.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if you heard this or not. Trey Gowdy recently said, well, we can't really get her email server, blah, blah, blah. Well, he apparently must have figured out some way of doing it where the House can do it. But here's what he did. He sent a letter to Hillary's attorney and asked him that he wanted the email server turned over to a independent party, all this kind of stuff. And he gave him a date in early part of April and said, if you don't do it, we'll have to take legal action. And I'm not exactly sure what legal action he's going to take, but that sounds to me like maybe he has cooperation of the Department of Justice, which that's, of course, still run by Eric Holder. But, of course, Eric Holder will do whatever Valerie and Obama tell him to do. So I think I think the bus has left the station.
Well, if that's the case, if that happens and the DOJ actually does cooperate with that, then there's the writing on the wall, isn't it?
Oh, she's sunk. If that's true, and I'm just, Trey Gowdy, he's smart. He knows how to hold his cards. He did not. He just said we have further legal action we can take is kind of the way he put it. And so, and before he said there wasn't really much they could do. Now he says there is. Well, that means something has changed. Either he discovered something he didn't know, or the DOJ they've contacted the Department of Justice and said, yeah, we'd be willing to go ahead and send a SWAT team in and get that thing or whatever. Well, we'd love to see them.
If Hillary's thinking that, or and Bill, then wouldn't you take that server out and beat the crap out of it with a sledgehammer?
I'm thinking it's already been done. Because too much time, this has been like another week. They've had at least 2 weeks to literally put the thing on fire. So I'd be surprised if it still exists. And the thing is, I don't think they're going to be able to get away with the IRS my hard drive crash excuse. Maybe, I mean, they might try it. They are Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Oh, they'll try it, of course, no doubt. That's coming. The lies are coming. More lies are coming.
Well, not only did our hard drive crash, but the damn thing just caught on fire.
You know, it's pretty bad when you've got liberal publications coming out and saying, come on.
Yeah.
You know, so when you got the liberal media turning against you, you're sunk. You really are.
When Politico says Hillary's defense is laughable, that, you know, like you said, that pretty much covers that. So anyway, I just thought of something. Okay, the hard drive crashes. It caught on fire, and they were trying to put the fire out, but the only thing they had handy was a hammer.
It was a big hammer.
Yeah, it was a big hammer. Actually, it was a sledgehammer, but still.
Wham! Mm-hmm.
Lord. Anyway, more okay. Rifle. Time for our break. We thank you all for listening to the Red State Town Hall. We'll be back in just a few moments. Stick with us.
Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Commerce.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
America's premier grassroots conservative talk radio network.
Red State Talk Radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work from home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Mr. Speaker, get me a doctor.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month, so please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster. Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654.
Red State Talk Radio, the talk monster.
Okay, we're back. Let's see what's next on the list here. Oh, yeah, let's talk about this. Israeli elections. Well, well, well. What was supposed to be a
close,
tight, nobody could predict the election, turned out to be pretty much a landslide for Bibi Netanyahu.
Which shows you what the Israelis are really thinking.
Well, yes, and here's the thing. Maybe it was close, I don't know. But I think when he went to Congress and gave his speech, I think it woke up a lot of people, not just here in this country, but also in Israel, which, of course, was probably Bibi's whole thing. He realized if he was on a world stage like that, he could get a lot of press coverage and could make an effective agreement, effective argument that it would maybe change the mind of some Israeli voters, and apparently it worked pretty well. And the thing is, the White House, of course, that's why they didn't want him to do this, because they wanted him defeated in the election, so much so that Barack Obama sent some of his campaign staff over there to campaign against Bibi. And the White House response after he won said that the fact that he won was somehow damaging to democracy. I mean, they just had a democratic election and he won. How the hell is that damaging to democracy?
And don't forget, it took him a few days to congratulate.
Yeah, several days. Secretary Joe Biden congratulated him and John Kerry. But, you know, even that was an insult, because the first call should have been from the President of the United States. And it's like, well, I'll give him a call in a few days when I get around to it. I got other things to do.
That goes back to when Bibi came in to meet with the president and he was put on hold. Remember that? He had to wait for hours to.
Obama literally went and had dinner with Michelle and the kids. They left him sitting there. I don't know if they gave him a cracker or what.
I'm telling you, Primo, this is, you know, this as well as I do. He doesn't like Israel. He doesn't like Bibi Netanyahu. And he can say all he wants to say, but his actions speak a whole lot louder than words.
Well, I mean, look at his position on Iran and the whole nuke thing. I mean, he's. Again, what side is he on? And I think we all know. And the thing is that when it comes to, this whole thing of not calling Bibi Netanyahu after his victory. And here's the thing. When the current Iranian president won his election, Obama called the guy immediately. Mm-hmm. You go down all these dictators and he called all of them. But he waited several days to call this guy. Well, what does that tell you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I said earlier in the first half hour, I called him a petulant child. That really describes him exactly. He is a child who is so used to having his way. And if it doesn't go his way, he just, you know, it's like I'm taking my ball home.
Pouts. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to play. I'm taking the ball home. I tell you, this guy's an embarrassment, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, no doubt. Worst president in our lifetimes, if not the history of this country.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really remember some of the guys way back in the day, but in my lifetime, without doubt, and I never thought I would say that because we had Jimmy Carter. I didn't think anybody could top Jimmy Carter.
I never thought it was possible.
Yeah,
to be worse than Jimmy Carter.
Yeah,
and I tell you, I live in Georgia. I was born and raised here. I know all about Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, I know, and unfortunately, I know more about him than I'd like to.
Yeah.
I wish I'd never heard of the guy.
Well, Jimmy Carter was, plain and simple, he got elected based on Watergate. He was the most honest person. How could he get more honest than a peanut farmer from Georgia?
I think that was really it more than anything else. And it was. He wasn't a Republican. He was a Democrat. That's really all the hell that mattered. I mean,
he was a Democrat. No, he was not just a Democrat. He was a very honest, down to earth, peanut farmer type thing. I mean, you can't get more.
Yeah, that's true.
Down to earth than a peanut farmer.
Yeah. I just wish he'd have kept on growing peanuts and stayed the hell out of the White House. It's just like Obama. I wish Obama was still community organizing in Chicago. I wish he was still doing that.
Well, it just shows you that even in national elections, it's all about timing.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. The goose, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. In 2016, you don't think, I'm telling you, now I may be wrong. I was wrong about Mitt Romney and Obama in 2012. Lord knows. But you don't think that all this, after 8 years of Obama, you don't think that's going to not play a role in who wins this election in 2016?
Yeah.
I think it will.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that plus I think you're with the ISIS, the emergence of ISIS, and their presence in this.
Oh, yeah.
Not only just the Middle East, but kind of, you know, in the world at large. It's going to be a major role. So the timing, that is going to put certain people ahead of the pack in the Republican.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. Some big news on that. A couple things I want to get out before we leave this whole Israeli thing. Number one, the Obama administration has pretty much figured out they're not going to be able to do kind of what they want to do in terms of hurting Israel. So they're going to let the UN kind of do it. I'm sure you heard this. The United States is conspiring with the UN to come up with all kinds of stuff against Israel to basically do what they want to do, but have it, in theory, be the international community doing this. But here's the problem. The United States has ultimate veto. They're one of the seven members that have ultimate veto power on basically almost anything that the Security Council does. And so, wouldn't it be... Now, if you want to know whose side this administration's on, if the UN comes up with this scheme to help Iran, hurt Israel, if they do this and the United States does not veto it, you know exactly where we stand with Israel, at least in terms of this administration.
I already know.
The American people, the American people overwhelmingly support Israel. I mean, again, Obama, just like Obamacare and all these other things, Obama is in the minority, but because he's president, he just does what he wants.
Well, he's got the bully pulpit. That's it.
Yeah. But here's the other thing about the Iranian deal, and then we're going to move on to something else. Actually, two things real quick. The Iranian deal. Susan Rice said recently, a couple weeks ago, that no deal was better than a bad deal was better than no deal. That just shows you what they're thinking. You know what? A bad deal is a bad deal is a bad deal. And a bad deal is not better than no deal. Bad deal is worse than no deal. I'd rather have no deal than a bad deal. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
You know, I think Obama, I really believe this guy thinks that Iran with a bomb, that's okay.
Yeah.
What's he thinks
everybody should have one if they want one. All nations are equal in his world.
Yeah. I think that he thinks, well, it levels the playing field out there because Israelis are nuclear powered. Why can't the Iranians be nuclear powered? Right. It just evens things out over there.
One other thing, and on this subject, then we're going to move on. The Washington Post, there's an article I have on redstatetalkradio.com. Be sure and take a look at it. It's in the Red State Opinion section. And the guy that wrote the article, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but the title of the article is War with Iran is Probably Our Best Option. And what he's asking is, based on what Susan Rice said, again, about a bad deal is better than no deal at all. And what he's saying is, like I said, no, a bad deal is a bad deal. And maybe our best option is war. And he's not saying that's what we should do. He's just saying, assuming the Obama administration really believes what Susan Rice said, then I'd rather go to war than to have a bad deal and let Iran get nukes. Because in my opinion, you cannot let Iran have nukes, period. I don't care if we have to drop a nuke on them to stop.
Yeah, agreed. But you know what? It won't come to that because the Israelis will act before we even act at all.
No, and of course, there'll be all kinds of hell to pay when they do that. But you know what? What are they going to do? They can't let them have one. I mean, because they will use it.
No, it'll be strategic bombing of nuclear plants that they know of. I'm sure they know of most, if not all of them. And I think that it's going to be targeted. You know, it won't be in the major cities or something. It'll be at those nuclear plants. And
that's true. But
I can't blame them.
Yeah, I don't blame them at all. They have a right to exist. And if someone is threatening their – and these guys have threatened Israel from day one. And yep. So what I'm getting at is it'll be targeted bombing as much as they can. But let me put this to you. If they had an underground nuclear facility that was right in the middle of Tehran, I'd
hit it too.
I'd hit it too. I mean, you know what? And that'd just be too bad. if the Iranians don't want that to happen, they should overthrow their government.
Yeah.
That's what they should do.
Honestly, yes.
Okay, let's move on to something that's a little more fun. Ted Cruz is going to make, quote, an important speech at Liberty University. And this is reported, I put this on the website a day or two ago, maybe yesterday, I think it was. And now it's being picked up by just about everybody. And CNN has actually said they have gotten hold of two of Ted Cruz's aides, of course, they don't give their names, that say he is going to announce he's running for president in 2016. Now, the thing is, we pretty much kind of knew this was coming. The thing is, he's the first. He's the first one, Democrat or Republican, to announce. There's some independents that have already announced, which, unfortunately, some of these independents may have some good ideas, but they're not, you know, they don't have a chance, so... I got in kind of a debate with a guy a couple of weeks back. He was pushing this one guy who's announced. I think his name is David Lynch or Leach or something, whatever the deal is. And I saw some of the stuff the guy had posted, and I agree with a lot of what he said. But it's like me. If you started running, Ken, even as photogenic as you are, Ken, I don't think you'd stand a snowball chance in hell. Because... the only without a lot of money, it just ain't going to happen. And the only vehicle you'd have to reach people would be this radio show. And even though our radio show is fairly popular, it ain't going to reach millions of people in time for the election. And that's what you'd have to have in order to win.
Well, I'm good. I'm changing my plans then.
Okay. Well, we have to rethink that, Tim. Ken, we'll get together and restart rethinking all that.
I'm just going to take the teaching. I can't, you know.
Yeah. You don't want to leave the children.
You bursted my bubble, Primo. Thanks.
Well, the point is, I could probably win, but I just don't have the face for television. So I know that would kill me. That's why I'm on the radio.
Like Richard Nixon and Kennedy.
Yeah, it'd be that kind of thing. You'd be Kennedy, I would be Nixon. Actually, I'd be a fat Nixon. Would be the deal. Anyway, okay, Ted Cruz. So he's pretty much he's putting his he's not putting his pinky in the pool. He's diving in, and he's the first one. And I've also heard that supposedly in about a couple of weeks, Rand Paul is going to be giving an important speech, and apparently he's going to be announcing his run too. It's going to be a crowded field in Republican. I'm almost pretty sure Rubio's going to run. We know Jeb's going to run. Yeah. Let's see.
Christie probably will.
Christie, maybe Huckabee. I mean, there's several.
Huckabee people, will.
You know, but I'm glad to see. I was afraid maybe Ted Cruz might back off, but I'm glad he's not. And, now, he may be having me completely fooled, and it would not be the first time that I've been fooled by a politician. If you live on this earth long enough, you will have politicians lie to you. You'll have them lie straight to your face. They'll have you believing that they believe what you believe and all that kind of stuff. And some people are really better. I mean, just for example, like Bill Clinton, he is so smooth. Sometimes he says stuff and I go, well, that sounds pretty good until I think about it. But the point is, what do you think? I mean, I think it's good that he's getting his – just go ahead and just get to know with and quit doing the dance every time he's asked. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, isn't there a committee or what do they call those things for the
exploratory committee?
Exploratory. There you go. He didn't do that, or he's not doing that. I mean, he's just jumping in, right?
I don't know if he did that or not, but it's been clear he was thinking about running very soon, if not even before he even became senator. I mean, he's only been a senator, what, 2 years, something like that?
I don't know.
But he's left a big imprint already, at least with right-wing right-wing, whatever you want to call it, true conservatives. He's not a big hit with moderates and rhinos.
Of course not.
Those guys, they despise him. I mean, they just cannot stand the guy.
Yeah, because he runs on principles.
Yeah. Now here's the thing with Ted Cruz. And the reason I gave the whole speech about being fooled by politicians, just be honest, do you think he actually believes what he's saying, or is he just a smart politician?
Oh, he believes what he's saying. I believe the guy.
I do, too, at this point. Now, again, we could get fooled. We both have egg on our face or whatever, but I think he means what he says and says what he means.
He stood up there and, you know, filibustered against Obamacare. And I mean, I think that to me, that showed a lot for me that he actually does stand up for what he believes in.
Well, I mean, some people say, oh, it's just a political stunt. He doesn't really believe, you know, he's just doing that to try to get attention and to try to give himself an edge on the 2016 run. Well, you know what? If you listen to all these stupid political consultants, oh, by the way, this is kind of off topic a little bit, but did you see the spat between Karl Rove and Glenn Beck? Have you heard that? Saw that?
No.
Yeah, to make a long story short, Glenn Beck has announced he is done with the Republican Party because they got the majority, and basically they didn't do crap about Obamacare, they didn't do crap about immigration, they didn't do crap about really damn anything. He said, I'm done, I'm finished, it's over, I'm not. You know, basically, he's just like, he's leaving the party. Now, that doesn't mean he may not vote for Republican at some point in the future, but he's not ever going to give them money. And Glenn Beck has plenty, so that could be a loss for the Republican Party. But and he was attacked by Karl Rove, who, well, you all Google and read yourself. And then Glenn Beck came back and basically said that Karl Rove had the morals of a whore, and he just laid into him. That was one of the things he said. He said something about I forget the entire quote, but it was, I thought, wow.
Jeez.
He's really ticked, isn't he? But trust me, Google that. You should be able to find that pretty easily. I saw it on Facebook and Twitter and stuff and whatever. So what I'm getting at is these political consultants will always tell you, you know, you can't be too conservative. You can't be too liberal. You gotta go for that middle. You got to go for that middle, man. You got to get those undecided votes. And there's a certain amount of logic to that, but at the same time, if you don't get your base, in other words, if you're a Republican, if you don't get that conservative base and they don't show up, you have no damn chance of winning, even if you get all those independents.
Agreed.
Done.
Agreed.
So it makes more sense to get the conservative base, and you try to convince the people in the middle to come toward you. You don't go toward them, damn it. That's what we've been doing. That's why we've been losing.
I.e. Ronald Reagan.
Yes. Look at all the Democrats. I mean, here's the thing. Ronald Reagan, first time up, he won how many states? I know he won 49 in the second election. But the first time he won 46 or 7 or whatever it was, mm-hmm. 5, whatever. Mm-hmm. No, 44, I think. It's 44. Won 44 states. He won 49 the second time around. You don't get 40-something plus states with just Republican votes, because there are more Democrats than there are Republicans in almost a lot of states, and in fact, nationwide, there are quite a few bit more Democrats than Republicans.
And remember, he was called a warmonger and all
that. Oh, he was called everything out of the sun. Yep.
And that just tells you that he was on the right track. When the media goes after you like that, you're on the right track.
Well, especially now, because the media is more liberal and more progressive than ever. Absolutely. So, the fact that the media hates Ted Cruz and the rhinos in the Republican Party hate Ted Cruz, that's a good sign.
It is.
I know.
What kills me is you know, these people remember Ronald Reagan. You know, some of them even were around when he was there. And I'm like, there you go. You don't have to go back too far in history. You just look at what he was the warmonger. He was this, he was that. The media went after him with their bows and arrows and guns, and I mean, they were trying to take him down.
Yeah.
He was the worst. He was a pariah. And he wins 49 states the second time around.
Well, you know what's funny is, if you think about it, not only did he get a lot of Democrats in the first election, but after 4 years of Ronald Reagan and what he did for the economy and what he did for America and the pride that you had of being an American again, yep. That's why he has an even bigger landslide in his second term, because even Democrats had to go, you know what, the guy's doing a pretty damn good job.
Yeah, it wasn't just me and you, Primo. I mean, we have talked about it before, how when Ronald Reagan became president, and we came after the Jimmy Carter debacle. 4 years of that, and we went, hey, I'm proud to be an American again.
Yeah.
I mean, my heart swells thinking about it. You know, just when he was president, now I felt we were in good company.
Yep. Okay. Well, we're about out of here. You want to take us out, Ken?
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth, and our great President Ronald Wilson Reagan, 40th President of these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time. Good night, everyone.
Adios.